And Dave has come around on this Sunday night, October 8th, 2006. I'm Dave. Hopefully not quite, well, maybe the Dave that Nellie McKay is talking about, but I doubt that rather highly. Anyway, that's the title track on a Nellie McKay album that's probably the best track on the Nellie McKay album that is titled Get Away From Me. It's a two-disc set. And again, as she says in the song, she does a rap song, she does all kinds of different music, some cabaret and clubby kind of music, but that's really the catchiest tune on there, and I'm just so happy that it shares my name. I'm Dave, Dave Lefkowitz, and hopefully you recognize my voice because I have been on this radio station almost exactly, oh my god, I think today or certainly this week makes 4 years since I first came to WGBB, AM 1240 in Freeport. Well, it used to be in Merrick, New York. Now it's in Babylon, New York, even though the actual tower is in Freeport, New York. Go figure that one out. It's a miracle of modern engineering, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm thrilled to still be part of it here with you now every Sunday night, except technically I'm on from 11 until midnight with a little program called Dave's Gone By. That's the show that's been on here since October of 2002. Unbelievable. It's 4 years ago. It didn't even occur to me that this was the week that the fourth anniversary was happening. I guess they were going to come up with something a little more special. Instead, I'm just kind of going to take it a little easy for this half hour. See, what's nice is over the past few weeks, I've also been given the 10:30 to 11 slot to kind of be a little more freeform, have a little fun, play a little music, talk a bit. Usually I have my co-host Jeff Goodman with me, and I'm expecting him, well, I was expecting him 5 minutes ago, but I'm certainly expecting him by 11, because it's going to be a very strange show if he's not here for Dave's Gone By tonight. It was kind of designed for two people. Jeff, if you're in the car, come on down. But I'm here. I'll manage no matter what, as I've done for all these years, and I'm thrilled to be on the station and to have you folks listening to what I do. So, why don't we play a little bit of music, and then I'll get to talking some more, because there's so much in the news. Some of it I wanted to save for the 11 o'clock hour, which is my quote-unquote real show, and that's generally a mix of comedy and talk radio and music and interviews and sketches. It's going to be a fun show. I'm assuming, as I said, that Jeff Goodman will be joining me as guest co-host, as he has been doing for the last few weeks, and we'll be talking about, oh gosh, everything from, I'm assuming, the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, although it's not per se a sports show. We'll be talking about that delightful little congressman and his problem, Mark Foley. We'll be talking, assumedly, about the whole Amish tragedy in a light and pretzely sort of Amish way, perhaps, and Inside Broadway. That's our recurring segment of things that are happening in the New York theater world, and Jeff and I will be reviewing the two and only. That's a new Broadway show, a solo show, for Jeff Johnson. He's the fella who was in the TV show Soap, and he's the ventriloquist there. Remember Chuck and Bob? He was both. And so now he's on Broadway, he's still doing his ventriloquism thing, and he's a lot more tied to it, with a lot more belief in the form than you might get from just thinking, oh, he's an actor who does ventriloquism. No, this is something a little more to it. And he's also very, very funny. So we'll be talking about that, plus some of the other shows that are coming to Broadway in the weeks ahead, because this is the crunch time. This is the big fall season push. Everything's going to be opening between right now and just before Thanksgiving. And then things really tail off. It gets kind of quiet all through late November and January and February, and then picks up in March, and then there's another crunch from April through early May, when they'll open another 12 to 20 different shows on Broadway. So we'll be talking about some of the big ones coming up right now, again, on Dave's Gone By in the 11 o'clock hour. Oh, and might have to also interrupt the 11 o'clock show towards the end of it for a special feed that we'll be getting. See, this station is a very eclectic radio station. You never know from 1 hour to the next what you'll be hearing on WGBB. It could be a swing music show, like we just heard from Swing City Vic. Good guy, good friend of mine. We've also, you might have heard, a dating show that they have on Friday nights with Bonnie D. Graham. You might hear at other points a fishing show that's been on here for several years. I don't think we have a cooking show on anymore, but you get the idea. It's really almost more like a TV station than a radio station because we have so many different kinds of programs. But certainly one thing we have a lot of is religious. Sometimes on Saturday mornings or Sundays they'll have the religious Spanish kind of hoodoo things and the black gospel-y things. And then there's some Indian religious stuff on Sundays, mostly not religious, but it's there in the margins. And also overnights, most evenings, from midnight until 6 a.m., you have gospel, black Christian gospel. So, you know, because of all that, there's a religious leaning to the station some of the time. And so I've been asked by the folks at WGBB to make a little time in my 11 o'clock show, in Dave's Gone By, for a very special interview with a religious icon. And I'm not even doing the interview. I'm not, I guess, important enough to do that. But we did get Carl Phillips, who's this really combative, surprisingly aggressive and conservative interviewer. I guess he wants to be one of these next Bill O'Reilly types or these folks on Fox or MS. Well, I mean, MSM, yeah, they can be pretty combative. So he wants to be that, and I'm a little shocked that they picked him to do this really, really important interview with this religious figure. I can't really say more about it because it's still not 100% sure if we got it and if the feed will work, but I'm Jewish, so I don't cross my fingers, but I'm keeping them in sort of a sextangle, six-way thing that approximates a Jewish star that this will go through. So it's going to cut into my show for about 10 minutes, not too much, and probably worth hearing because it should be quite interesting. So much to get to in the next hour. But for now, I'm just hanging out, just having fun, just love being in front of the microphone. Welcome, Jeff Goodman. Thanks for dropping by.
Light as a feather, the wind has just dropped me in.
Oh,
on the beautiful shores of WGBB.
Well, why were you late for this little pre-show thing?
I was at a lovely circus party.
Oh, my goodness. So who did you suck? No, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. What? How was it? Was it a barbecue? Was it a...
No, it was like they had a lot of kind of bad for me food, so I kind of didn't eat a lot.
In a sukkah? Shouldn't it all be like fruit and salad?
They had some... But it was mostly cakes and candies and cookies.
Ooga, yeah.
Yes, I know.
Or ugot, if you know Hebrew. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. But if I want to keep my slim, trim Yiddish figure,
yeah, well, yeah.
Then I really must...
Well, Sophie Tucker figure, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, sorry. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I'm being mean because you're late. I'm doing it subconsciously. I'm not trying to be mean. But it's just, you know, I'm like... Argh.
Well, did you mention the fact to everybody about what's happening in 3 weeks?
Well, you just informed me of it like a moment ago, so why don't you inform everybody?
We're going to have our first annual Jeff Goodman birthday bash special.
Yay!
On Dave's Gone By, too?
I don't know. Actually, it'll have to be, let's see, what week?
I say, let it celebrate me.
Well, wait a minute, what week is that?
It's
actually,
Halloween
when is your
weekend.
Birthday?
My birthday is October 30th.
Oh!
The day before, Erev Halloween, as we like to say in the Jewish circles.
So we can do it the 29th.
Going into the 30th, and I'm sure the people at midnight will allow me an extra 5 minutes to enjoy my birthday surprise.
Well, they're the gospel people, so yeah, as long as you behave yourself, you don't get naked and have people popping out cakes or pastries or simis. Yeah, no, I think you're in good shape.
I'd like a puff pastry, please.
I'll bet you would. No, but how old are you oldest now?
Only if you tune in October 29th to 30th will you find out.
All right. Well, thank you for shaming me into it on the air. I love when people do that. But, yeah, well, if nothing else, we'll certainly...
And then the next weekend will be my bar mitzvah special. Because that's the anniversary of my bar mitzvah.
If you will relearn your whole Haftorah...
Bar Avraham, ben yoshiv yoshef ha-shana,
b'shmael. No, you got to sing it.
Oh, no, we didn't sing it that
day.
You
didn't sing it?
No.
Oh, my God, I had to learn the little musical. That was the fun part. Every little thing was like you had a... It was wonderful. I loved learning this because every letter
had a thing.
Do you
know what my Torah portion was about?
What was it about?
The first circumcision.
No.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
That's what it is. For Abraham ben Yishev Yosef Hashemim. Abraham was 99 years old.
Oh.
And Ishmael was 13. But it celebrated the reason why we have bar mitzvahs.
Well,
which is because Ishmael, who was I'm sorry, I hit the table.
Yeah.
Get very excited.
It sounds very bad when you hear someone hitting the table.
Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. Okay. So, actually he had to...
But Ishmael was the Arab, wait a minute.
No, Ishmael was Isaac, kind of before Isaac, before... He kind of changed his name to Isaac.
I think you're misrepresenting something here.
Okay, well...
Isaac was Isaac, Ishmael was the one that got sent out. Ishmael became Bin Laden. That was the problem. They sent Ishmael out of the house.
That's because they circumcised him at 13. What do you want?
Yeah, well, or 99.
No, 99 was Abraham circumcised himself. That was a self-circumcision, which is very hard to say.
It was like early autoerotic asphyxiation. That was hard to say, too. I didn't say it right either.
Just be quiet.
What? Can you imagine a 99-year-old man who, like, with tools of that age?
Well, do it as the rabbi.
A bottle of vodka? It's like, all right, let me do this. Let me see.
Ow, that hurt.
Because he's going to be 90s, he's blind, so he's going to be hacking away. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Miriam, is that okay?
Look at my grab. What is that? I'm going to cut. Oh, damn it, that's my. That's a scratch on my stomach. That's how my dog it was.
My goiter.
I think I got it. Wait, let me pull. All right, I'm. Oh, this is not fun. Wait, let me have another swig of Manischewitz. And Manischewitz was real back then. They would stomp grapes over in the next cave. Bring over Abraham, like a case of it. Okay, you seem like you want me to end riffing on this so you can continue. Go
Happy
ahead.
Sukkot.
Happy Sukkot. Well, so you had fun time at the party, yes?
It was lovely.
Good.
Lovely, as they turned out.
It was lovely. Wouldn't it be lovely?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. We'll get into some stuff also, since thank you for coming on Dave's Gone By. You're going to be my guest co-host tonight, because we're going to be talking. We're going to be bantering about your trip to Alaska.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, we'll save that. We'll be talking, I guess, about Mark Foley and chatting about the Amish.
Well, you know why I was late. I just wanted to make sure the intro was done.
Running joke.
And now we're still introing the show.
Here we go. The joke is not only running, it's running away.
How come when I bang on the table it's annoying, when you bang on the table it's fun?
Because I'm doing it within the context of a joke, not within something like, people have to listen to this. You just turned your mic off, I think. Oh my. Yeah, you did. You actually turned the mic off in here by hitting the table in there.
Don't mess with me.
Jeff is seismic tonight, ladies and gentlemen. He has seismic powers.
By the way, speaking of seismic powers, did you see the new NBC series Heroes? Actually, that was something we've been discussing. I'm a TV addict. I like to watch all the new TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Heroes has one of those people who can, they all have different powers, and I love it. It's like, I didn't think I liked the show at all, but it's really turning into be quite...
So it's not a reality program, this is a...
No, it's a written program, and everyone's having different powers, and they're all coming together. It's really, really quite interesting.
Okay.
But I think everyone's favorite character is a Japanese guy who sits and stares at the clock for a while, and makes time moves backwards, and then he ends up that he could teleport himself. And he teleports himself to New York, and it's like, and he's superhero, and he ends up being in this comic book that someone else writes, and it's weird.
It was, you know, I had the TV on, I was flipping channels, and I saw something that looked like a commercial. It had that sort of weird feel, mm-hmm. like it was not a sitcom or a sit dramedy or anything. It felt like a commercial. And it was this Japanese guy. Okay, what are they selling? What's the comic payoff? And then suddenly he's like on this other street, and I'm like, this is going on long. It's not an infomercial. What is it? It turned into a show. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Well, I'm not exactly sure when it's on, but it's kind of a very interesting new NBC show, and I'm really, really interested to see where they're taking that. That's one of my favorites. I forgot to tell you that.
We were talking earlier.
David and I had breakfast early this morning.
Yes, yes. Jeff and I are connecting at the hip. But it's a Velcro connection, so we can peel each other away for a couple of hours. And then
we're like Emily Skinner.
and the pretty one, who's that? Alice Ripley.
Oh my God.
Yes. And I think they're appearing together again at some benefit. They were the people who were in Sideshow,
mm-hmm.
Rather crappy Broadway show that still has a cult audience for some insane reason. But anyway, Jeff, we have about 2 more minutes in this pre-show. Not my fault this time. What do you want to talk about for 2 minutes?
Oh, gee, what's happening on Dave's Gone By? No, I'm only kidding.
Actually, I ran through that already, so...
How many times?
Just once, because I take a long time doing it. see.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We are doing Inside Broadway. I told you.
Yes, I know. Oh, we have all sorts of stuff. What else would I like to talk about? Oh, my sukkah. I had a very nice time.
All right, enough with the sukkah. Tell me a funny thing that happened at the sukkah party. An anecdote. Something nice. Something.
Someone went to Africa. It was very I love watching his like slideshow on the computer. That was really great.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Let's see. What else? I can't mention anything. Certain things happen, but I can't explain it on the air.
In a sukkah party? What? What could have happened to someone putting etrog?
Well, as we all know, that when you want your party decorated, you should call Fancy Schmancy Balloons at area code 516.
Okay. We don't do this in the pre-show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We do this in Dave's Gone By, where sponsorship is okay.
Well, you can get the number in the next show. But anyway... So I ran into some former customers of mine that
we had
chatted about.
Yeah. And, did they owe you money? Did you tell them that they owed you money? Oh, come on, dude. Why?
They know.
But, no, we can say that Jeff not only works for, but owns Fancy Schmancy Balloons, and they are a sponsor of the upcoming program Dave's Gone By.
But have really no interest whatsoever in this show.
No, none. This show is just
this is a lovely free show giving to us by the graces of WGBB.
Exactly.
Who is kind enough to let us rant on for half an hour after
Lou Talano Streetwise and then Swing City Vic. All right.
I like to think I'm after Lou Grant.
Oh, Mr. Grant. Yes.
Yes, Miss Richards, what can we do for you?
Mr. Grant, the hair on your back is just frightening me. It's frightening.
Mary, let's go out on a date.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
that was like the most uncomfortable. Just watching it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's a shame. I mean, I guess they were kind of apart in age. But
you know who I miss? Who? Sue Ann.
Sue Ann Nivens. Wait, that was...
Betty White.
But she's alive. She's doing a lot of TV work.
I know, but I miss Sue Ann.
And so is Georgia Engel. Yeah.
So Georgia Engel is live on Broadway.
In The Drowsy Chaperone.
Playing?
What's her name?
Mrs.
Help me out here.
Me too. I can't.
Mrs. Me too. Was she Japanese now?
Yes. Mrs. Me is. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for being in the pre-show before Dave's Gone By. Now, play a little music. Get us out of here, and then we're going to come right back for an hour of comedy talk, music, and radio with me, Dave Lefkowitz, and my guest co-host, Jeff Goodman, with Dave's Gone By. Do not go away. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Whirling around at night, and there goes the neighborhood. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dave's Gone By on this October 8th, 2006, the 191st show that we've done. And as a matter of fact, and I just realized this, if I recognized it earlier, probably would have done something completely different tonight. But this is our fourth year on the air. It was 4 years ago in October of 2002 that Dave's Gone By initially came on the airwaves of WGBB. It was a Sunday evening show right around now, and we went through a couple of different time slots, as things do over the years, but we wound up back here, although now we kind of start at 10:30 sometimes, because the station's being very cool about that. But if you don't know Dave's Gone By, welcome. It's an hour of comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, sketches, all sorts of weird and cool stuff, hosted by yours truly, Dave Lefkowitz, and got a lot of really, really fun stuff to do tonight. So even it kind of is a fourth anniversary show, and I'm very happy to have as my guest co-host for the evening, someone who's been on the show quite a few times, especially recently, my good friend Jeff Goodman.
That was just the fourth anniversary.
Celebratory burp. I love it. Thank you. It was a nice Do I get four? I should get four burps. Two? Three? And one to fart on. Don't choke. Super. Okay. Super magnifique, if I may say so myself. Okay, I just did. Oh, Jeff, thank you for being here. I missed you last... we weren't here last week because of Yom Kippur, but...
Well, you know what's great about this show, being 191? If we stand it on its head, we're back to 161.
Oh, kind of a palindromic, upside-down-ish way of looking at it. No, I was so sort of thinking in the back of my mind about the 200th show, somehow more of a landmark for me, which will be, I think, in January, that I totally, literally... went right out of my mind the fact that we'd be 4 years old now.
The 200th show will be in December, right around Christmas, ironically.
Beginning
of November in there. At least four Sundays in every month.
Yeah, sometimes five.
And
so
this is only the first one in October.
Yeah, but we're in the middle of October because we missed with Yom Kippur, so...
I have news for you. Mm-hmm. Today is only the 8th.
Yeah, well, there was a first.
That's the beginning. Oh, well, that's the very beginning.
Yes, thank you.
But there's three more to follow.
Right. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this.
Okay.
I have too much else to do.
Sometime in December will be your...
Either December or early January. Who knows? Maybe I'll have a terrible accident and I'll miss a show or two. But I'm just...
Oh! Put a Kanahara on your head, why don't you?
Well, Kanahara is if I say everything's going to be great and I'm going to be healthy. But if I say I'm going to have a horrible accident, then it won't happen. Come on, you're Jewish. You understand these things.
Okay.
Okay?
So I hope you get into a horrible accident. I don't know. What is there, son?
I don't even know how to follow that, but thank you. That was funny. That was actually... This is why I have Jeff on. Jeff is a theater critic. He's also... He also does centerpieces and balloons for parties.
But more important, by the way, Dave,
I
am a bon vivant.
You are a bon vivant. You're a high-living guy.
From now on, when you introduce me, I am Jeff Goodman, bon vivant.
Well, you know, tell people where you were. I mean, people who were listening in the last half hour know, but tell people where you were this afternoon.
I was at a circus party. Aren't you jealous?
Circus. I mean, how many of people listening, all three of you, can say that? You were at a sukkah party.
With a real sukkah. They had the lulav and the esrog in the sukkah.
Oh, boy.
It was fantastic.
Was it a real one? Actually?
It was a real sukkah. They had a little kit, and they put the leaves on top.
Oh.
It was so nice.
And they had cakes and pastries.
It was just
lovely. Yeah.
Yes. I had a wonderful
time. How many
time.
People were in there?
It was like just the neighbors just kept coming in and out, and they left. So I guess a total probably 30 to 50 people wandered in and out. And
yeah, I wonder
and
if there
was a constant about 15 to 20, 25.
I wonder if any fire department people ever visit these things and go, you know, there's a maximum occupancy of 43 people in a sukkah. You have the 44th person, they have to, it's like in a theater, they have to shut it down.
Well, you see, we were also outside on the sukkah, outside the sukkah on the porch,
right.
And inside in the kitchen.
Well, cool. Okay. Nice people, good people.
Lovely people. Lovely people.
Well, speaking, I have to give a shout-out to some other lovely people, the people who sponsor and help out this show. And those include...
The people at Hewlett Minuteman Press.
I don't know why we're doing all this clapping, because it's the anniversary show.
That's right.
In fact, I'm going to get the comedy bell, even though
and,
I'm not even
using
it for comedy.
And just because it's our anniversary.
Yes?
Anyone who goes to Hewlett Minuteman Press and mentions Dave's Gone By...
Yes.
I will personally give them $4 off.
You
every order of $100 or more.
Wow, that's big. Because remember, every order of any size, if you go to Hewlett Minuteman Press and mention Dave's Gone By, you get 10% off the bill. So you can get
plus
$4.
Four extra percent.
Four extra. Wow, that's pretty good, actually.
It is.
Yeah. Do I count, or am I excluded because I own the show?
It's your party. You don't get any.
Ah, crap. And do you give anything for people who go to MortgagesRock.com?
MortgagesRock.com. I will help them to get four friends to sign up to be part of their mortgage system.
That's not easy. Necessarily.
I will get the names to them. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's like a mortgage system. Don't make it sound like a pyramid scheme. It's just
learning
how to
it's
how
so
be mortgage
easy.
Brokers.
It's so easy. My friends have done it. I've looked into it. It's excellent.
You are lying through your team. Well, I know you went through the website.
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
Really? Yeah.
It's actually a very interesting thing where you can get your own mortgage or you can learn how to sell mortgages to other people I haven't personally sold any mortgages to anyone.
Right.
But it's wonderful. You can make money off of someone else's mortgage, which is a great way to live, I think.
Yeah, right. Let their money work for you. That's how America works, actually. And also, let's not forget Performing Arts Insider.
What the hell is that? I don't know.
Oh, you know, because you're subscribed to this wonderful journal, which tells you everything you need to know about Broadway and off. But we'll talk about that during Inside Broadway.
You mean what I like to call my Broadway Bible?
Yes. Thank you. Yes, exactly. The Broadway Bible, Performing Arts Insider.
Because I keep it right by my bedside and it has all the information on anything I want to know about Broadway. All the press.
And off Broadway, but yeah.
Yeah.
Press agents, contact
opening dates, closing dates, what's coming up. Oh, my God. Anything. Dance, theater, off-Broadway, off-Broadway. I mean, if you want to know what your next-door neighbor is doing the next night, I think that's in
it's
there,
probably
too.
In the index. Speaking of what our neighbors are doing, one of the reasons you weren't on in our previous show 2 weeks ago, Jeff is pulling hairs off the microphone covers and doing other things that... Actually, it's 11 o'clock. I can mention them, but I'm not. Because I want to have enough time to talk... You know, you're always bitching that you don't get enough time, that I do too long intros. So tell us about your trip.
Introing.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, sponsors conquer all. Yeah. Sponsors mm-hmm. first. Everything left.
But we didn't mention Fancy Schmancy Balloons, where you have to get all your decorating needs. 516-797-3229.
Fancy Schmancy, and it's balloons and centerpieces. That's
yes.
the point.
All party decorations.
What's the number?
And we will give you an extra 4% off this week. Actually, if you call Fancy Schmancy Balloons and you order more than $400 worth of party decor,
mm-hmm.
And you mention Dave's gone by, I will give you a free balloon arch.
A free balloon arch? Those are nice. Those
a whole
big arches, like a doorway made out of balloons.
It is about a $75 value.
Wow. All right, folks. So, then give them a number again.
That would be Fancy Schmancy Balloons at area code 516-797-3229, but you must mention Dave's
gone by. And you also got to get a website at some point so we can direct
people. Actually, the people who had the Sukkot party, he's probably going to end up designing a website for me.
All right.
And maybe for you.
Ooh. Well, then we'll talk. We'll schmooze. We'll do lots of things.
As a matter of fact, can I give him a plug, too?
Yeah, sure.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's take another...
I had a card I just talked to him.
Well, you know, by now we were supposed to have finished talking about your Alaska trip. By now we were already supposed to start moving on to other things.
Well, we should talk about Alaska another time, too, if you want.
Well, yeah, but it kind of will lose its because you were just there a week ago.
It won't
the longer we wait.
I had a wonderful, wonderful time. Everyone should go to Alaska. It's a brilliant thing. It's amazing. It's part of it.
What was the best thing? Just what was the best moment? What was the best thing you did in Alaska?
If you really must know.
Yes.
I love the synagogue.
This is one, you know, we are in the middle of Sukkot, so this is working out great. I'm thrilled. And next week is
the
Torah show, yeah.
I spent Rosh Hashanah, and I have never been so warmly welcomed into a synagogue in my life. I truly was so happy to be there.
And
they were really happy to have me, which never happens, by the way.
When we talked about this last week, maybe or 2 weeks ago, maybe on the pre-show, but what do the synagogue people call themselves?
Oh, well, the Temple Beth Shalom of Anchorage, Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and they have a little nickname for themselves. They are the Frozen Chosen.
The Frozen Chosen.
And a mighty, mighty nice bunch of people, I must say. I had probably one of the best Rosh Hashanahs ever.
That's lovely.
It's so not what you'd find in New York. It's not about the money. It's not about the clothing. It's not about anything except just being there and being accepted as part of the Jewish network.
They're a community.
They're the Jewish community.
That's
why you host
pork,
the show, and I just am here.
I mean, no, but they serve pork. I mean, they have some unorthodox. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's wonderful. I mean, it's not like, you know, how we go to synagogue and it's almost like a theatrical thing. Everyone's on stage and there's an audience. Well, it's not like that up there. It's the rabbi talks. There's a guy who actually through 3 or 4 services, I thought he was the cantor.
Yeah.
He's a congregant. Just a congregant.
Okay.
And he with a good voice, so they let him sing along. And the rabbi, instead of just like preaching out, he mm-hmm. talks to people during the whole service. It's like, oh, you know this, so-and-so, you know this. Tell me about this. And they do, and they just yell back and forth. I must tell you something. The sermon, I had no idea it was even a sermon. It was just like he talks, and he brings other... He involves everyone. It's so... It's so casual, yet you go through the whole service and you just love it. And I have not felt like that in a long time. And I do think that people, I think it's part of the fact is that we're in the majority here, or at least we're not such a small minority on Long Island or in New York. I think, and I was talking to other people at the circus party, and they said, you know, that they think that that's almost any smaller town where Jews are in a small minority to do that. I highly, highly recommend it. Huh. I mean, I told you and your wife I want to hijack you to Alaska to introduce you to my friends at Temple Beth Shalom, the Frozen Chosen.
I mean, that sounded very cool. And that woman also you met while you were riding, was it a train? While you were bike riding.
Oh, yeah. It was like, well, that we were talking. That's right, because we talked on the air and I was in Alaska.
Right.
And, oh, the people up there are just the friendliest people. It's really unbelievably hard to believe it's in Alaska is in this country. The people, everyone is content. They're happy. They're not wanting more and more and more. It's just beautiful. Every day you wake up, it's a beautiful vista. It doesn't matter if it's raining. Sometimes there's a moose on your front lawn. It's gorgeous.
Well,
you know?
Okay. I mean, it sounds... Everybody, go to Alaska. And
I wish I didn't just say that, because now
everybody will.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll have more flights, so they'll get cheaper even.
No, don't go. Forget it. I forget I said all that.
Yeah, go to Bora Bora.
Just let it be for me. Go to the city. Go to New York.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was in New York City, last Saturday, for the... RTIR conference. This is something that
Ritter?
The radio people know. What?
Ritter.
No, not Knight Ritter. This is the Ritter. They call it really the Publicity Summit. And I think I've talked about it once or twice on this program, and I'm thrilled to be invited back. What happens is, and people in the industry kind of know about this, it's this neat thing. They invite people who are in the industry and on the outer fringes of the industry, like yours truly, to this conference in this hotel right in Midtown Manhattan. And the idea is, we're there as sort of the experts, but not only that, people are approaching us in order to get on our program. So there'll be folks like me who host little dinky radio shows.
People want to be on this program?
God, you wouldn't imagine, yes.
Oh, can I go and go, no, I'm sorry, you're just not interesting to these people?
Well, you're supposed to be nice, and believe me, you know, 50
well,
people come up to you.
Well, good cop, bad cop. I've never played bad cop. They always make me play good cop.
Well, you could be...
Dave, you could sit there and go, oh, sound great, and I go, oh, Dave, I'm sorry, they're boring.
Well, they can see in my eyes. I mean, and what happens is, it's like speed dating for media. So they get all these people, they line up to talk to you for 2.5 minutes. That's what they get. So these people who are generally, almost 90% of the time, they're pushing books. They've written books, they've self-published books, or they're pushing something else. Very rarely music. Sometimes it'll be a service that they do, or a seminar that they want to teach, or an organization that they represent, and they want to get on the show. Now,
I think we should really pull the wool next year.
Yeah.
And let's go on, and we'll do a thing, and we'll say, we'd like to be on your radio show so we can steal it from you. Because we want to prove we're better hosts.
Yeah, okay.
Don't you think?
Well, who would I do that to? Or someone would do that to me? I don't get it.
No, I think we should do it to Howard Stern.
Oh, he's not there.
Who's the biggest name there?
Well, there was Oprah. Oprah was not there.
Well, we love
but
Oprah.
But someone representing Oprah's magazine was there. Some other people want to get an article.
The big O.
Which is edited by Gail, her best friend, the one she went on a trip with. So Oprah was there.
I'm better than Gail to go on a trip with. Come on.
I'm sorry. Well, oh,
she was just
totally
putting on makeup. I don't put on makeup.
You could, actually. You wouldn't
and I'm
fabulous. The shadow.
Yeah, that's true.
So the Oprah people were there. I remember we were sitting before the whole thing started.
And who else was there?
Having coffee. And I was talking to someone who'd been there a few times, a guy named Bob Cudmore, who's been on this program, and I've been on his show a few. He does a show out in Rochester. And
you don't want to be in Rochester. Who's in the city?
Rochester. So Bob is there. I'm talking to him, and then next to him is this very nice black woman. She's very smiley, and nobody's talking to her, so we include her in the conversation. Turns out she's from the 700 Club. So I'm like, I'm talking to the enemy.
You know,
gee, I'm like doing, no, evil Satan. You know.
But she was nice.
Well, of course those people are nice. They're preternaturally nice. Look at, what's her name, with the makeup, speaking of makeup. from that other show.
Oh, yeah, the one whose husband slept with the girl from
the all the husbands of those people sleep with the girls from the you-know-where, yeah.
Tammy Faye Baker.
Very good. Yeah, the cancer one. Cancer Faye Baker. Oh, she's a cancer.
She's a crier. She's a crier. She just cried all the time.
She cried.
Oh, send us money because my mascara is running.
I think it was the mascara. It poisoned her system. Went into her bloodstream. Now she has cancer
but
tumors
then she
from mascara.
Remember she did that short-lived TV show? It was Tammy Faye and Jim J. Bullock. Remember she did a TV show with him?
Well, she was on a reality show.
Oh, of course. Well,
with a porn star.
A limited reality show with her.
No, it was one of these, like a real world thing with, oh, the porn guy who looks like a hedgehog, and people say I sort of look like him.
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. I look like him with my clothes on, which is the real tragedy. I mean, they saw me naked and say, hey.
When the clothes come off, the similarity ends.
Oh, crap, yeah.
You fall a little short.
A little, compared to Ron Jeremy, please. It's like drinking straw garden hose. Okay, anywho,
it's like
more
like
information
those
than you
snakes,
need to know.
Those, you know those snakes you light on the 4th of July? They're just ash snakes. Just grows and grows.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there's an image. I'm so glad we're on at 11 o'clock. Anyway, so what do I want to say about this? So this goes on for about 2.5 hours. It's just people coming at you. You listen to their spiel, and you try and seem interested in all of them. And usually you're really interested in about 5 or 10.
See, that's where we would change things. You and I would be the most interesting people there.
Oh, totally.
And they go, oh.
Well, people love talking to me because I'm, like, there and I give back the energy. Everybody else, there's someone usually from Kenneth Ablo's show. And
who is Kenneth Ablo?
He's this new psychiatrist guy on, see, that's the thing. So many of these people have self-help books and, how I kicked alcoholism, how I improved my life, how I nearly died in this accident and it changed my life. And
well, we should
everybody else wants these people. I don't.
See, we should have the show How We're Going to Steal Your Radio Show from You.
I'd rather more steal a TV show. I mean, so we have someone from Fox News. There's people who write for magazines, and they need some of these people
they're
for stories.
They're fair and balanced, remember?
Well, yeah, right. So anyway, I thought I'd give a plug to just a couple of people who were there who handed me something that I found kind of cute. And this way I don't have to have them on my show. I can just mention their books.
Because we're far more interesting
than they would be. Or usually we are. So let's see. Oh, the best guy there was like this muscle man. He had like this amazing sort of weird muscular body but a tiny head.
Oh, really?
It just did not fit. He was like he wasn't even a health guy. He was like a lawyer. But it was,
did he do those drugs? No, this was
like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but it wasn't that kind of weird thing. It was like a Popeye body, but the head was about 4 sizes too small for the body. It's really creepy.
Steroids.
Yeah, perhaps.
And what was the name of his book?
I don't even know. Sorry.
Well, what was he pushing?
Sorry, creepy. A book.
More head people?
Yes, you have to say that. Everybody was pushing a book.
So what was his book called?
I told you, I don't remember.
Then why are we mentioning him?
Because
he was
funny looking. No offense to him if he's listening, which I know.
No offense, but we think you're hilarious to
However,
look at.
There was one kind of hot girl. That was kind of neat. And it was amazing because she was a sex therapist. So I was like, yes. But I don't think we're going to.
But wait. Yeah. So you want to mention it so you didn't have to have him on the show.
Yeah.
But all you're doing is making fun of the way he's looking.
Well, I couldn't do that if you were on the show, could I? I couldn't be Howard Stern. I can't do that. Have someone in the studio and say, you know, you might want to take a bicycle pump, attach it to the side of your temple, and blow your head up a little bit.
I'll do it. I'll say, by the way, it's very nice to meet you. What the hell happened to your little cabeza?
You would do it. Well, maybe you would.
Sure.
I don't think I could do that.
As he pummels me into the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Let me do this. Let me just get through this. One of the books there was 171 Reasons Why You Should Never Live Next Door to Your In-Laws. One of these cute little giveaway throwaway books.
Oh, my God. I could think of about 400 reasons why.
I think it was appropriate for you because you have some trouble with your step-something, so you don't really have in-law. Well, actually, it's not an in-law. It's a step-thingy.
It's my father's wife.
Wow. You're
Rudy.
You just say, I'm surprised that you really go out.
Welcome
there.
To Death Watch 2000.
Well, let's see if these fit your situation. Imagine if
we should call her up. Are you dead yet?
Imagine if you lived in Florida. And they lived across the street. So, reason number 4 why you should never live next door to your step person or in-law You will never be able to leave to be late or leave early from work because your in-laws will call your company to see if you're there.
Oh, how true.
Okay. Reason number 8, you will find yourself entering your in-laws in every free trip giveaway just to get them
away.
You will never be able to argue in the summer unless you have central air because
right.
if your windows
right.
are open,
sure. they'll hear it.
Your in-laws will be sitting on lawn chairs taking notes.
This is very true.
They're cute. The song Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer will start to make sense to you. Let's see. Reason number 21. Your father-in-law hunts. You have a deer in your yard. The deer is cute. Then one night, bang! And you have a dead deer in your yard and bullet holes in your siding. I know it's kind of fun. Okay, now
I like
funny.
It the other way around. If I hunted and there's a deer in their yard and bang! One day Trudy has bullets to her head. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Mike, you're really on a down thing with... I mean, wow.
No, I don't...
This is your stepmother, dude.
No, this is my father's wife.
Okay. Okay. Doesn't that make her...
No. Nothing. No.
It makes her stepmommy dearest.
My stepmother would be someone who helped raise me.
Well, reason number 157, if your in-laws are being supportive, check your pulse. Bum, bum. Cute little book. So that's very repetitious, though. They're like 171 reasons. They really could have done 100, because so many of them are...
So we could think of about 97 reasons why you don't want them on the show.
Don't want the... or. Well, I don't want to live next to your in-laws, and now I don't have to have the person on who wrote the book. I pushed the book. It's from by Faith Powers and Dean Kawada, Incel Inc. Books, I-N-C-E-L-L. And then there's another book that I'm going to get to do a couple of things from called Fictoids by Bill Dutcher, A Random Walk
and
Through Cultural
History. And you
actually
got a copy of that one.
Well, I had a copy of the other one, but I didn't want to schlep two books, so I just brought this one in.
Because I know those that 100 and whatever reasons must have been a very thick book. Each reason had to be at least 10 words.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that, and I have a little picture of a noose on each page with like a smiley face on it.
Is that just in case you get tired of reading the book and want something else to do?
Pretty much, yeah. let's see, I'll read a couple. Trying to find something kind of funny. In 1894, so it's hard to explain what these are, so I'll just read these fictoids.
Please.
In 1894, Henri Toulouse-Lautrec, so a lot of puns in the book, I know how you love puns, Henri Toulouse, L-O-O-S-E-Lautrec, grew tired of painting the ladies of the evening at Le Moulin Rouge, so he left Paris and spent a week in the countryside where he painted the less than original Man with a Hoe.
Man with a Hoe.
With a, okay, mm-hmm. According to the United Nations 1980 World Food Survey, in the United States, only the very rich and the very poor eat rabbits. That was kind of clever. Yeah. While on shore leave in Hong Kong in 1986, drunken sailors from the USS Deficit spent money like a sober congressman.
I like that one, yeah.
While a baker's dozen is still 13, thanks to the introduction of ATM fees in the late 1980s, a banker's dozen is now 11. That's kind of a news gone by sort of a joke. Mm-hmm. This is cute. The annual convention of the Eastern European Cryptography Association.
What's cryptography?
If I explain it, that kind of ruins the joke.
Okay.
You'll get it. It was planned for May 1995 in Prague, but was quietly canceled when none of the members were able to decode their invitations. See, cryptographers, people who decode... Okay. See that... Ah!
Oh.
So, okay, we're done.
No, read them again. Actually, you know, these are kind of like... They're almost, you know, they just did like... A hair off from being kind of like that.
Funny.
No, they're clever, and I like clever.
Yeah, literary spam was introduced by Norman Emailer in 2002.
I don't like that.
Email. Oh, that's cute. That one's funny. Oh, well. Anyway, Fictoids by Bill Dutcher with illustrations by Jack Ziegler, and that's from, I don't know who published
it. Let me see that book. I'm coming over to get the book.
Yeah. So while Jeff is coming over to get that book, you know what? We're going to do some commercials, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, listen to me. No, I mean listen to me on Compact Disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave's Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like Mel's a-poppin' and Handyman Yoni, visits with guests like Reckless Eric and Julie Haggerty, punchlines and politics in the News Gone By, all just $11 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD. Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman, their service can't be duplicated. You don't have to pay big bucks on Broadway to enjoy a funny play. You could sit in the comfort of your living room, or bedroom, and read a whole book of hilarious comedies by the one and only me, Dave Lefkowitz, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, filled with my unique humor, satire, and spoofery. If you like my show, you'll love my book, $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it at davesgoneby.org, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. That says it all, doesn't it?
But give it to me every hour.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Inside Broadway, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, on Dave's Gone By. This is a recurring segment where we talk about what's happening on the stages of New York in the theater, on and off Broadway, but usually on Broadway. And so we're going to do two different things in this segment. First of all, we're going to talk about, because Jeff and I have both seen the show, The Two and Only, with Jay Johnson, the ventriloquist.
That is right.
You can't really do it. I was going to say you can't do ventriloquism on radio, Jeff, but
I know,
you can.
Hard, but I'm not moving my lips at all when I do that other voice. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Phenomenal. Yeah, because like Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy were on radio. You would figure it's the last thing that would work. It's like having a mime on radio.
What are you kidding? I work on radio all the time.
The funny thing is where my hand is right now. It's making your lips move. But you know, Jeff Goodman.
Oh, that's not what's making my lips move.
Now, stop thinking of Ron Jeremy.
Get your hands up, Mike.
I don't even know what that means. Okay. Oh, I forgot to ring the comedy bell. Now we've rung it. Okay, welcome to Inside Broadway.
On the fourth anniversary edition of Dave's Gone By!
Yeah. So let's talk, first of all, about The Two and Only, and then we'll get to all the other shows that will be opening in the weeks ahead.
And hopefully we'll get to see one singular
sensation. Well, opened last week, so we'll get to that. What did you think of The Two and Only, Jeff?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was kind of a three-parter play. And I love the flashbacks. That really touched me. He talks about how he got into ventriloquism, his mentor, and it really touched me. The first part was kind of like a college course on ventriloquism, which I could have done without. And then the third part was actually the where he just did some ventriloquist bits.
No, understand that he mixed all the parts together. It wasn't just like lecture and then... Yeah, the puppets and then... I mean, there were bits all the way through where he would mix it up. But the first part was a little...
What was some interesting and some not. The second part being his memoir, I love.
Right.
When it's all very personal. You could see how it just it came alive during that segment. And the third part, which if you liked his characters, you liked his characters. If you didn't, you didn't. And it was like 50-50 for me.
Well, see, for me it was much more... First of all, I had seen the show off-Broadway at the Atlantic Theater about 3 years ago. And it was, you know, sell out and people loved it. And it was going to move to Broadway instantly, but they couldn't find a theater for it. Everything was booked. And so just months and months and he started touring.
That damn Bridge and Tunnel Girl again.
Yeah, right. It was going to come to the theater where Sarah Jones was doing her solo. And she became so popular that it was pushed away. Finally, 3 years later, Jay Johnson makes it to Broadway. I like the show a little better off-Broadway, A, because it was new to me. It was very, very fresh.
I do think it would work better in a smaller venue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing was, Not only are you closer, but it's a sound system.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at Broadway, it's clear, although every time he brings music up and he has to sing to music, yes. I couldn't make out the words.
Yes.
And I have pretty good seats. I know you had a thing where you were a little late. You tend to be late, Jeff.
No, it's not that. It's very hard for us people living on the South Shore to get into Broadway at 7 o'clock when the Long Island Railroad insists on giving us one train that gets into Penn Station at 5:55. And once the next train is at 6:55.
Yeah, but the theater people would say then, or not the theater people, but they'll take the early one and walk around.
And wait for an hour.
I know, it stinks.
Some of us have what we call lives.
I know.
And jobs.
But you ended up having to sit all the way back in the back, which I think probably affected your...
That's another thing about the Helen Hayes Theater. The Helen Hayes has no standing room in the back. And I think if they're going to make people stand and wait for a show to come in,
mm-hmm.
that they should provide some sort of closed circuit television so you can find out what's going on. And then you can go to your seat when you want. You shouldn't have to pay all that money for a ticket. I mean, and I will tell you, I didn't pay for my tickets. Right. They were
pressed,
complimentary. Yeah. But if I paid for the ticket, I would have been mortified. And I had to say, you can't let me sit for the first 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I was all of 10 seconds late.
I know.
I got my ticket. They were arguing when they were applauding for him to come on. They could have just put me.
Brought
should
right
we
down,
bring him in?
Yeah.
Should we not roll?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I'm okay. I can see where they want to get the lights down. They don't want to be people moving down the aisle during that. Once the show, even just the point, because once I think there's a point where they show the set for a minute and then he comes out. So already the show had technically kind of started before you even hear the applause.
No, I understand that,
but they should have that. Sounds like a closed circuit TV. How much would that be?
Yeah, I know. And so I talked them into letting me sit, and they said, well, if we let you in now, you have to sit in the back for the entire show, even though I had seats in the fifth row.
Oh, it's an intermission, this show. Had there been an intermission, they might have let you move down.
But, you know...
But they, in the lobby, and they do it at Lincoln Center, they do it at a couple of the off-Broadway things.
They do it at Manhattan Theater Club.
Yes.
The Roundabout has it too, I believe.
It's one thing that these places can't have more bathrooms because of the structural design of the theater. It's one thing that they have
these
tiny little seats because they want to crunch everybody in. But if you... Come on, they can wire one TV. I mean, because figure it. They've wired it so that conductors in the musicals can see the orchestra, their monitors in every music house now.
Right.
Yeah, so, come on. It can be a little black and white thing with volume.
Right, just so you don't lose...
It costs $1,000.
Right.
Know? Just to do that. So
I mean,
come on, Schuberts. Come on, Niederlanders.
No, this is an independently. Martin Markinson owns the Helen
Hayes.
That's
right. You're right.
Yeah.
And the Irving Berlin Estate.
No, that's the Music Box.
You're right. Sorry.
But
you know your theaters.
Yes,
I don't.
I do.
Yeah. Anyway. So, but I do want to say that much as I liked it, I find it funnier and a little more enjoyable off Broadway, I still liked Jay Johnson, The Two and Only, very, very much. I laughed a lot. I loved The Monkey. You didn't like The Monkey. I like The Monkey.
No, it depends on your sense. So, but honestly, I think the top ticket price is about $80. I think it's a little high.
Well, for Broadway?
No, I think for what you get, it's a little high. It's,
right.
It doesn't matter where the show is. I think you have to have a value on it, and that's how I like to do it. And when I talk to people, I say, well, you know, that show was a good, you know, $30, $40 show. I think I'd pay $30 or $40 to get in to see him.
Right.
So, you know, if you get him on half price, and it's okay.
Which you probably can, yeah.
And it's fine. But also remember, but you want to bring your kids to ventriloquism, and there's language in it.
Yeah, he throws in some words in there that I was not expecting. That was
but just so people know Jay Johnson, he was the ventriloquist on Soap.
Yes.
That's his claim to fame. He was Chuck and Bob.
Right, and he brings out
Bob.
That was the only kind of dead spot where their segment goes on too long together.
See, I liked it, because I was a big fan of Soap. I liked
it. Oh, so was I, but it took a long time to get rolling with Bob, whereas the other puppets were, like, right there, funny as hell.
Yeah,
and then that blackboard, brilliant.
Oh, the blackboard was
unbelievable. He takes a blank slate.
A whiteboard, actually.
A whiteboard, sorry, with a black marker. He draws... Eyes?
Well, he starts talking about modulation.
Yeah.
And from that, what he does is he got the premise, and we all bought that it was a whiteboard. And he's erasing it, and he's putting stuff on, because there's a grid on it. And you figured, okay, well, let's talk about modulation. That's why there's a grid. Well, there's really a grid, because he draws his character, and all of a sudden, the whiteboard comes alive. And it's unbelievable.
It's and funny. Funny, there's that wonderful tagline of, like, every time the board tells a joke he doesn't like, the board has to say, like, don't erase me! Don't erase
that
me.
That I did like.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Anyway, so I give a strong recommendation to the two and only. You're kind of mez a mez. Half price, it's worth it, though, if but there are other things that you would recommend a little higher.
Yeah.
Now, of the things, let's talk about, though, for Inside Broadway, which, by the way, is sponsored by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
Or like Bible. I call it, like to call it, the Theater Bible, that I keep next to my bed, just in case I'm sleepless and I want to know what's coming up in the theater, cabaret, off or on Broadway, or like in my neighbor's, you know.
Yeah, but when you keep it near your bed, the pages get stuck together. That's a little sick, I thought. Anyway.
No, they don't, because I'm actually normal, and I was just...
I thought you didn't like being called normal. We had a discussion
about that. Well, I'm not normal, not average, but as far as that goes, no, I am not actually sexually aroused by my performing arts inside.
Oh, so then you have to smell it as well as read it, because it has that really nice, it isn't mimeograph smell, it's a nice, fresh, inky, kind of papery smell.
You know what I love about the smell?
What do you love about
it? It reminds me of Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Well, yeah, because they're printers of Performing Arts Insider.
Really?
God bless them. Yeah, they are. So anyway, what you will also find in the pages of Performing Arts Insider magazine, which you can find out about at performingartsinsider.com, are the upcoming shows. This is the fall season now. We are in it right now. There's going to be a dozen or more shows opening between now and the middle of November, just before Thanksgiving, and then very few shows between then and March. And then March you get the big spring push with lots and lots of other shows then. So among the Broadway productions that are coming up literally next week, the week after that, are they're going to be doing Heartbreak House with Philip Bosco, a George Bernard Shaw classic that
I saw it with Rex Harrison years ago, that was such a phenomenal production of that.
I'm not that familiar with the play. I tried watching a TV thing of it and got a little bored, and I was like, I'm not going
to show
that.
It has to be really good. It really has to be heart-wrenching.
Really? I guess
it's a good play.
You have to get past the first act, then, because the first act is like,
Well, it's all just like all other Shaw, it's all exposition. It's like, okay, now these characters, let me go.
And then there's also a new play called Losing Louie, that Manhattan Theater Club is doing, and that's opening on October 12th. So these two things are opening next week.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Manhattan Theater Club,
yeah.
I just found out because my friends where I had the Sookus party are very good friends with Jackie Hoffman. Jackie Hoffman is going to be in the next play at MTC.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it's called, but it's who wrote Jeffrey? Who's the guy?
Paul Rudnick.
Paul Rudnick is writing another play, and Jackie Hoffman's in it with Christine Baranski. It's phenomenal.
Right.
So just in case, and I hear Losing Louie is pretty good. So
by Simon Mendez de Costa.
It might be a good idea for people to run out and get a subscription to Manhattan Theatre Club at this time.
Because that'll be a very hot
good
ticket.
Deal on all four plays. And I think that is going to be, I forget the title, but it's such a Paul Rudnick title.
Oh.
And it has a phenomenal cast, and it's going to be hilarious.
Knock wood.
So I can't wait, so please.
Are you looking forward to Mary Poppins, the London musical that's also going to be opening in New York? That's coming.
Give me a spoonful of
next
sugar.
Saturday, yeah. It'll help the medicine go down, among other things.
But
might help you go down on the medicine, I don't know what that means.
So, you know.
What?
No sexual references with Miss Poppins, please.
Okay.
I just like the fact that her name is Miss Poppins.
Yeah.
Mary, quite controlled. No, it's Miss Poppins to you.
All right. Well, that's opening at the New Amsterdam Theater.
I can't wait to see what they do with it. It's such a success in London.
Yeah.
I hear you cannot buy tickets to this.
And meanwhile, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was a flop here. Same people, same songwriters.
I know.
I'm not sure what they're... We'll see.
Mary Poppins was always more popular than this. Nothing people like to see more than things they've already seen.
Good point. And, well, we'll be seeing Nathan Lane. Again, he's coming back to Broadway. He's going to be on a show called Butley, which I saw with...
Simon Gray.
Well, I was in Boston. Nathan Lane did the show about 2 years ago, where he was trying out at the Huntington Theater Company in Boston, and I was down there and saw it, and it was kind of eh. So I'm not really, I don't really have high hopes for it. The play just was kind of like...
No, it's not a...
And he's all right in it, but I don't think this is going to be a major performance for him,
but
who knows?
You know, I think what it is Nathan Lane has now gotten himself... He seems to be one of those people who's like in that Broadway rut. He can't seem to make it. He can do a couple specialty movies, but he can't really make it outside of Broadway. He'll be a Broadway star forever.
Well,
and you know, and TV has not been really kind.
He's been funny in the movies, though.
He's hilarious. But I just don't think mainstream America gets him. You know what I mean?
Well, good. So we'll have him on.
I think we'll have him
in a better place than Buckley.
And things like Faith Prince will also, you know, she's another one who can't catch on. But he's also, but producers are allowing him to pick the pieces that he wants to do. And I think that's good for him.
Yeah.
You know, and if he wants to do Buckley, good for him. It may or may not run. I mean, look at how much a surprise non-smash The Odd Couple was.
Oh, yeah, although I loved The Odd Couple. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that, because we've got to just get to a couple of other things. Chorus Line already opened. It opened a couple of days ago. I'm going to be seeing it in a few days. Revival, the critics liked it, but said it was trying a little too hard to be a carbon copy of the original Chorus Line, which ran about 15 years. So I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, I'm totally looking forward to it. I can't imagine. I can't say one thing bad about Chorus Line. Never.
It's a wonderful.
It's a singular sensation.
And we also have Grey Gardens coming. Now that was good. I saw that on Broadway.
Well, you know, you also forgot Little Dog Left.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's by Douglas Carter Bean, a very nice guy and a very funny and good playwright.
And it's
he wrote his Bees and Honey Drown. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got a show coming in, and then we just heard this week two interesting Broadway things coming. One, Inherit the Wind. With Brian Dennehy and Christopher Plummer.
Whoa.
I think that'll be in the spring, though. That's not so soon. And then One Night Only. God help us.
Thing?
Meatloaf is taking over a Broadway theater to do Bat Out of Hell 3. Actually, he's going to be doing bits of Bat Out of Hell 1, 2, and 3. But he's pushing Bat Out of Hell
3. But you know what else you're not talking about, too, is something that's really new for the Christmas time. They're doing How the Grinch Stole the Grinch. It's called The Grinch now.
Right.
I think that's going to be kind of cute for the holidays.
Well, it's a big hit out in California. I think Center Stage, or what do you call it? The Amundsen and the Taper people.
I mean, that, and I cannot wait. I just pray that it makes it here. The new revival of The Wiz.
I'd rather see Nixon Frost. That'll be coming.
What's that?
Frost Nixon. About the Nixon Frost.
Yes.
That's hot.
Oh, and also the Les Mis people have something called the Pirate Queen coming.
Speaking of Les Mis, that's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that?
And you know who's in it? And you'll like this because it's
Reuben Baker.
Who
one
will
of my
be
favorite
a guest
people.
On this program in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Maybe she'll be on my birthday special.
It's confirmed. I don't think so. We might have something else for that night, but it'll be right around then. So,
Daphne doesn't want to spend my birthday with me.
Well, who knows? I mean, she's a busy girl. She's playing Fontaine.
Well, maybe she'll just call in just to wish me a happy birthday. Daphne, you better do it or I'm going to be mean to you when you call in.
Aww.
I'm kidding. I love you.
Anywho, so basically what we're saying is even if you don't want to see the two and only, there's so much now that's going to be opening, so much to see on Broadway. Please, that's the main thing.
And what
just
else is coming? What's coming to Studio 54? There's some interesting stuff coming this
week. Well, it would be a roundabout thing, whatever it is. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
The way to find out, go open Performing Arts Insider or check PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information about the magazine, and that way you, like us, can be inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway. Thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. The best Broadway magazine just got better. More listings, more contact numbers, more inside information in Performing Arts Insider. And not just Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off, dance, cabaret, opera. As one dramaturg put it, Performing Arts Insider is a gold mine of information for the theater professional. 21 times a year at your doorstep, the whole world of theater, with 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Visit PerformingArtsInsider.com or call 516-295-1511. 516-295-1511. Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. D is for Dave, F is for fun, S is for silly and special, X is for excellent entertainment, DFSX, Internet Radio, playing vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By, Saturday nights at 11. It's part of Live 365, but all you gotta do is visit davesgoneby.org. Click the link and listen online to classic Dave's Gone By, Saturdays at 11. DFSX, letters that stand for terrific.
Dave, I love when you do the little songs, theme songs. It's so clever.
Although I need to make one little emendation to that. Apparently, we're also on Thursday nights. We're back on Thursday nights on DFSX. So
you know why?
Thursday and Saturday at 11.
Because
yeah.
You are so darn good.
I know.
Now, but speaking of so darn good, this Vic Toy book has had me. This builds up.
So you like it? Okay,
well,
cool.
Well, sort of. Well, they have bad stuff like this. Diane Keaton played a lonely school. By the way,
well, you got talking to the microphone. Even though
I'm sorry.
Reading, dude.
Really? Yeah. Are we on radio? What's
yeah,
the difference?
It's one of those.
So anyway, it says here, you know, it goes by, I guess, decades, and so for the end of the 70s, it says, excuse me.
Yes. How did I spell that?
It says, Diane Keaton played a lonely schoolteacher who foolishly frequented auto repair shops in search of her ideal man in the 1979 thriller Looking for Mr. Goodrich. Well, that was pretty awful.
It's painful, yeah. Okay. Yes.
But they have lovely gems, and sticking to a movie theme, did you know that, and this I really liked, adjusted for inflation, Bo Derek reached 27 in 2005.
That's funny.
And then also in the very end, something that you didn't mention, he has a glossary of coined terms, like agoraphobia is the fear of being bored to death by wooden politicians, noblesse obese, noble but fat.
So these are all from Fictoids by Bill Dutcher, which people can get, and the reason I'm rushing you on this is because, unfortunately, I had all this stuff I wanted to talk about. The Mark Foley and the scandal that was going on, and also the Amish thing, because I wanted to make some horrible, terrible jokes about pretzels.
Well, speaking
and
of that,
Amish kids.
You know what the guy who went into the Amish school, you know what he did? He committed a pseudosoid. Oh, well, no, it wasn't a pseudosoid, actually.
What was it?
A pseudosoid would be a fake suicide.
I guess milk is not a natural. Drink milk! Anywho, but no, I've got to get serious now. Unfortunately, I've got a break in. As I said, you know, this station does a lot of different things, including gospel and religious programming. And so I've been asked by the station to run this. I really don't have any control over it. I'm sorry. But it's a pretty big thing. There's an interview that we're getting by feed done with a very, very major religious figure by a conservative talk show host. And what can I say? I mean, it's probably going to be really interesting. I'm surprised that they got this particular host to do the interview because he's rather combative. He's more like a O'Reilly kind of Fox announcer. And you figure they would have had a little more respect. The feed is coming in through now. Let's give a listen to it. And we'll be back with the end of Dave's Gone By. This should be over by midnight, so we'll be back.
This is Carl Phillips reporting for Metro News. In my long career in journalism, I have had the great pleasure of interviewing every single person in the history of the world. Most recently, I had a chance to sit down with the one and only Jesus Christ. Here's what happened. Jesus Christ, welcome back to Earth.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. It's been wonderful to be here. Certainly a lot better than the first time I was here.
Tell me,
yes.
Why are you back?
Oh, I just thought I'd pay a visit. It's been a few hundred years at this point, so I assume the place has changed, and it really has. I mean, all the industry, it's pretty nice now, parts of it.
Do you have any ill feelings toward what happened to you 2,000 years ago?
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm really mad and angry at all those people, but they've been dead, and their generations have been dead. So I say, all right, live and let live, new times, new people, just groove with it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying, but
no,
it sounds convincing to me.
Yeah, well, remember that I'm translating everything in my head from Aramaic to your English.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's a little, yes.
So it's not lost in translation, so to speak.
No, I mean, you're understanding me through the process of five different languages that you wouldn't even know about.
Okay. I must ask, what happened to you 2,000 years ago? We've all heard the fairy tales that you were nailed to a cross.
That was not a fairy tale. I was nailed to a cross. There were 20,000 other people.
Did you snitch on someone?
Wasn't a snitching situation.
Was this a mafia hit?
No, it was not.
Are you for or against the war in Iraq?
Wait, you're not letting me answer these?
Answer the question!
Which one? Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're worse than Herod. You know that? You are worse than Herod, you little bastard.
That's what my husband says.
I don't even know what that means, and neither do you. Now,
I bet you don't.
Now, ask me a nice question. You seem like such a nice boy.
I'm not.
So you seem like such a...
I'm older than you.
Are you? You couldn't be older than me. I'm 2,000.
Are you telling me that you know how old I am, even though I don't?
I know everything. I'm the son of God.
No, you're the son of God. You're not the God. God knows more than you.
It's genetic. Well, of course, he's my dad.
You didn't invent
genetics. But he taught me everything I know. Well, mostly. I learned some other stuff from girls, but we won't go there.
Are you a creationist, or do you believe in what actually happened, the Big Bang Theory?
No, first there were baboons. I just like saying the word baboons. Actually, they were gorillas.
It's a fun word to say.
Is it? Say it with me. Baboon.
Baboons.
Baboon. Baboons. Yeah, baboon. Baboon.
Okay.
I love that. Baboon. I could do that. I once did that for 10 years straight. Because time is different with me, because I'm Jesus.
Of course.
I just go, baboon.
How old are you?
I'm 2,000 and, let's see, 30 plus 2,440 years old.
Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
There are no weapons of mass. Everybody knows that.
But President Bush says he has spoken to you about this war. You gave him the approval.
I gave him
blood is on your hands, sir.
No, I gave President Bush gall and his dad. Because they swing.
Don't bring his dad into it.
Move the shoulder and then the wrong way with bad.
So you don't like Bushes?
When?
Are you anti-Bush? Are you for or against
Bush? I like Mary's Bush, I'll tell you that much.
Did you have a father, did you have a child with her?
With who?
Mary.
Mary who? See, there was Mary O'Connor.
Yes.
And there was Mary Shmulowitz. I liked her very much. And that was before the whole
Mary O'Connor sent you a very lovely muffin basket. Unfortunately, I ate them all.
Is that a metaphor, or were they really actually muffins?
No, they were actually muffins.
They were muffins in a basket. But, and then, of course, there was Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
She was a sweet. She bathed my feet a lot. She had the fetish. And
right.
I went with it, especially when I was in serious pain.
But
yes.
Did you and Miss Magdalene have a child together, as Dan Brown suggested?
I had so many children that, they never made it into the... They were going to be in the sequel, but I died, so the sequel never got... Oh, I've got children you can't imagine with various different women and the occasional animal, because I can. There are species of animals that didn't exist before I got there, and now they do, and they kind of have human features. Well,
such as what?
Really? You've never seen the
I'm a reporter.
Ocelot Man?
I'm a reporter. I don't know facts.
There's Llama Boy.
Llama Boy.
I was lonely one day in the desert, and a few years later, there was Llama Boy. Had a beard, but had the back end of a llama. So.
Sounds like you've been burning some bush there, Mr. Christ.
if I could fashion a drum set out of thin air, which I can, but I don't feel like it, I would do a rim shot right there.
Is God black?
No, he...
Is he a woman? Is God Oprah?
No. Let me set the record straight on that. God...
Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Muhammad is Oprah. That's the... There are no weapons of mass destruction. Don't try and trick me.
All right.
Don't you do
I
that.
I knew I couldn't trick you.
Good.
And now I know we limited ourselves...
Ask me some pleasant, nice question. I didn't come back here to
sir,
be persecuted again.
Sir, I know I said 10 questions,
yes.
But there's just so much to ask you.
That's totally fine.
What does the H stand for in Jesus H. Christ?
Help! I didn't have the H until they were nailing me up.
Why did you let them nail you to that cross? You could have taken them. I've seen pictures of you. You have muscles back then.
I had the flu. I was weak for a week. There was a week that I was weak. And when I finally, they dragged me on, I asked my father for help. But he was busy. It was busy that day.
Are you distant?
Never forgiven him.
Are you distant
that.
From your father because of that?
No, we made up.
But you came back 3 days later.
Yeah.
As is my understanding.
Well, I got my strength back up. I kicked the rock away. I was like, yeah. In fact, I kicked all the way to Far Rock away. I hid out there for about 100 years while Christianity was building up.
What do you think about a whole religion based on you, even though they don't actually follow Judaism?
I think it's ridiculous. I was born a Jew, I died a Jew, I didn't die a Christian. Christianity came after me because they wanted to believe in me. I think that's fine. I think that's great, but I'm still a Jew.
We've always been taught that when you come back, it's Armageddon. I don't see fire out there, sir. Should I declare you a liar?
You don't see fire? Just go to New Jersey. All you gotta do is go into New Jersey, the 10 fires a day. That's the Armageddon.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that country.
Oh, go to the Turnpike. Oh, well, I don't blame you. It's better where you are, believe me.
Oh, yes.
But it'll spread. It'll spread. Yeah, I have my little emissaries. They make a little trouble. An Amish milkman that I kind of talked to for a little bit. So I have my revenge, too. But I don't want to take down humanity. I don't hate humanity. Just the Arabs.
I have a two-part question for you.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
What do you plan on doing while you're in town, and where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Okay. The answer is yes and no.
Okay.
I've been doing everything. I've just been all over the place. I've been going to Broadway, although I sure wish they would bring back Godspell. And I've been going to museums and a couple of strip clubs, you know, because I need a little at this point.
May I suggest something to you, sir?
Go ahead.
You should listen to this wonderful radio show all about Broadway.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, they did not pay me enough to actually say what the title is.
That's
check funny. Bounce.
But I can read your mind. I can read the mind of the show that you are thinking about.
Which is?
Naked Anal Nurses 4. Oh, you're a bad...
You tapped into a wrong part of my brain.
I don't think it was your brain. I set my sights a little higher there.
Guys think with the same head.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Jesus. Remember, this is still commercial radio. We got to be careful.
I believe that sound means our time is up.
That's God calling. Let me go get him. Hi, Dad!
Eat. Eat. Use. Use. Buy. Buy. Look at me. I'm the American consumer, and I want to spend my money on stores, restaurants, showrooms, travel agencies, mail order catalogs. Sell me stuff. How do you reach me? Well, I listen to Dave's Gone By. So, if you advertise there, you'll certainly have my attention. Dave'sGoneBy.org has all the details, or email davesgoneby@aol.com for the rate card. I'm listening. Sell me what you got.
Welcome back. We want to give credit, of course, to Carl Phillips, the interviewer, in interviewing Jesus in that particular segment. Also, want to say a few things before we get out of here on this 191st edition of Dave's Gone By. I want to tell you that we got some amazing guests coming up on the show. Next week, October 15th, musicians Michael Lydon and Ellen Mandel will be on. And not only are they cool musicians and they've done a lot of music for cabaret and for theater. They score plays and do the music for various plays that have played at Cocteau Rep and on the Phoenix Repertory. But Michael's had this amazing career writing for Rolling Stone, and he followed the Rolling Stones during the Altamont tour. So it's going to be quite interesting talking to him. Then coming up, other people like producer and musician Barry Levitt, the improv team TJ and Dave, and, as I mentioned before, Daphne Rubin Vega,
once
Tony-nominated actress, going to be on Dave's Gone By in just a couple of weeks. Yay!
This is an exciting month to listen to Dave's Gone
By. Sure is. And I want to give a couple of congratulations real quick. Congratulations to Simon Saltzman, who was on our Tony show a couple of months ago. He's been elected the official president of the Outer Critics Circle. He was just the acting president. Now he's no longer acting. He's actually doing it. Mazel tov to my cousin Deborah and her husband Bobby O'Brien. They've got a new son, Joseph, 7 pounds, 12 ounces, born this Thursday.
A new listener. I love it.
Yeah, right? Well, it's a little late for him, but soon. Happy Columbus Day coming up to our Italian listeners. Happy Succus, everybody. Thank you to my wife, Joyce. Thank you to Jesus for taking part in that sketch. Thank you, Performing Arts Insider, MortgagesRock.com, Hewlett Minuteman Press, Jeff Goodman, Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Thank you, as always, so much. I want to remind you, listen every Saturday night, midnight to 6 a.m., to Indecent Exposure Radio on WVOX. That's WVOX.com. Listen to Vic Fusco, Swing City Vic, Sunday nights at 9, and to Joyce Keller, Radio Psychic, Wednesday nights at 11. And listen to me, catch a Vintage Dave episode every Thursday night and Saturday night at 11 on DFSX Radio. All you got to do is click from davesgoneby.org to get there. Jeff, any last words before we go?
Please don't change your radio from WGVB. We're next week in exactly 24 times 6 plus 23 is, but we'll be back next week.
October 15th, Simchas Torah with the 192nd edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Milk does a body good, but milkman, I don't know. Let's go, Mets.
And gone by.